That's some tight wind and water right there.
Mordors, lock up your daughters. It's a 12-man podcast. Declan Maron over there.
Hello, Ruth brothers.
Hovind over there.
Shaking
over.
Should
have said hello, daughters.
Here
you
I
could
am
have said here I am, Camp Granada.
Camp Granada.
How you doing?
Sorry.
The 12-man podcast. You want to get in touch with 12-man podcast at hotmail.com or at 12-man podcast on the Twitter. You can go to the Facebook page as well. Just Google the 12-man podcast. Get on the Facebook page. That's all happening over there, isn't it?
It
on
usually
the Facebook
does.
Page.
Yeah.
On the Facebook page.
Get on the Facebook page.
Yeah. It usually is. It always is, lads. Come on, get in there. Gather around, children. Come on, and gather around our regalia tales of
cheering.
I'll put attendance and tales of Alan Pardew, eh? Afterwards, it's pretty wild celebrations during the night, or during the day, after Newcastle's late winner even against Fulham. Seaside's very late goal, and his wild celebrations. Yeah, I want to know, lads, what's your favourite manager celebration over the years? I'm going to start with you.
Declan
Aaron.
Jinx. apart from
can't speak for the rest of
Klopp scaring us all the other night with his crazy looking down the camera celebration, I'm going to go with Stuart McCall that we just talked about last week.
Not again.
That's my favourite.
But he wasn't manager. He was just a player.
No, was he not a manager?
No, that was Paul. That was Paul Jill.
Right, I'll have to give me a minute then. I'll have to rethink. But he did fall off the car and it's very funny.
It's just any time we can mention that. It's grand.
Actually, I'll just use mine so we can get it all finished with. Generally, any Mick McCarthy World Cup 2002.
Mick McCarthy, that's exactly
I'm sorry. You'll have to think of a new one. We're reshuffling the pack. Any 2002, probably Germany.
No, it has to be the German.
Yeah. When Robbie Keane scored the late equaliser, and he had that kind of, if you can write, you know, if you're writing a shocked face in a text, that's what it looked like on Mick McCarthy's face. And then we scored, and he just.
And he did a little jig thing. Yeah. That was great.
You have to reshuffle now. So why don't you let Shane Keane go first?
All right, I have to recompose myself. I've been thinking about this for the last 2 days.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm going to go with the big man, Jose Mourinho, giving a socks down the Old Trafford touchline. Porto beat Man United in Champions League. What, about nearly 10 years ago now, isn't it? He's giving it, you know, I think it's, what's the name? I can't even remember who it was. It wasn't Maniche who scored, was it? Can't remember who got the goal. It was from a free kick. It was saved and then it was put back in. And he runs all the way down the touchline, all the way down to like the corner flag and jumps on top of the players. I mean, this was the coming of the special one, you know, and all the way down the touchline. He's giving it socks. Giving it socks all down the touchline. But a special mention for his other one this season,
against
City, when he ruins a perfectly good suit by,
sliding
on the ground.
Ruins a perfectly good pitch.
Ruins a perfectly good pitch and perfectly good pants. Yeah,
those grass stains are never coming out, that's for sure.
I mean, if he uses Ariel, you know.
Niall Quinn's wife's personal tablets. That was an advertisement.
How
did Niall Quinn's wife get that?
I'm going to throw it to Ruth Open here.
Oh, you should probably turn her back away.
Got to throw it back away.
No, Neil Lennon fucking fanny, sir.
Well, that wasn't really a celebration of anything.
There is a couple of YouTube videos you can use as examples for celebration. When he beat Rangers.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, he wasn't manager at that stage, but he did.
He sang into someone's terrible phone from the quality of it. The Rangers are shite.
Oh, the Rangers are shite. That was pretty good. I did like that.
Yeah.
He had some good drunken moments.
And that's why he gets mailed bullets.
Another celebration that I kind of never
it's not right.
Who ended up being. A manager as well, but he was a player at the time as well. Steve Staunton, after we beat
Germany.
No, we beat. Oh, after we lost to Germany, he kicked a bottle into the crowd. After we beat Saudi Arabia in the same World Cup, and he was taking off. I don't know what he's doing. He's taking off his t-shirt to give it to someone. Then he takes off his shorts, just takes them off, throws them on the pitch, walks off.
Probably roasting.
Just like, probably,
So, didn't actually pick managers. That's pretty.
Well, nice. I did.
I picked Mick McCarthy.
We both kind of picked Mick McCarthy.
Yeah,
but I picked it more. So you can.
But
you
I know. Win, so.
You picked Jose Mourinho, so of course you did.
Jose Mourinho giving a sock down the Old Trafford touchline. I looked for a video of it last night, I couldn't find a proper video of it.
Really?
Bar strange. Somebody who'd recorded it off their telly phone.
If you record it.
And they recorded it off their telly on their phone in 2003 with a 1 megapixel camera. What is this? There wasn't even any sound, I don't think. awful.
If you're recording things on your telly off your phone, please stop it. That's ridiculous. It's like when, do you remember back in the day when when you just discovered football shows, and that one was on Saturday morning. And
that one was on Saturday morning.
They used to send the third eye.
Oh yeah, they sent their own clips.
But also, they'd send their own clips in, and loads of them were that. They were like videoing themselves with like 10 terrible seconds. Cameras.
Here's what Mike do, volleys. Yeah. Oh, he hit himself with the head.
Yeah, there was one made up especially, I remember, that was a lad that driving a tractor around like somewhere, and he was just screaming into the camera, and they found it hilarious. About football or something. I was like, how are these getting on TV?
One when Leon Knight decided to
that was a good camera, and that was him recording him watching his own golf on the telly. Which he is only 5'6", but he can leap like a fish.
He can leap like a fish, I tell you. Tell you.
He'll tell you.
I'll tell you. No, he'll tell Leon, I'll tell you.
Well, that was interesting. We talked about that last year, didn't we?
We definitely talked about that at the end of a few videos.
Anyway, look, Champions League was on this week, that's important. So just finished, mm-hmm. An hour ago. Dortmund.
Watched it like a bunch of mates we did.
A bunch of lads. Dortmund beat Malaga, the big one, 3-2.
Yeah.
Goals from...
We told you so, Shane. We told you.
You were so wrong. Dortmund were...
Maybe they never won the race or something, so... just about is good enough for...
Close for us again.
No, we said it yesterday. We're like, oh, thank God they actually nicked that at the end. Because we had been just like, they'll go through. And you were like, well, I don't know, they might not.
But, we were only talking here maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. I said, I wouldn't be surprised. It was before the draw was made. And I said, I think, Paris Saint-Germain had a good chance of going, maybe getting through if they get a handy enough draw. Or if they were to get Dortmund, I think they'd beat Dortmund. Close enough to that. Because they nearly went through with Barca. But anyway,
Both of the teams lost.
But Dortmund nearly... But I mean, I think Dortmund could have nearly went there. Yeah, they were terrible. Yes,
they were really bad.
Yeah, and the two really, really late goals. And the second one was blatantly offside 2 or 3 times.
But in fairness, as we'll get to, so was the Malaga.
We set off the Lewandowski goal. It's a nice goal. Nice bit of play. Joaquin's goal, yeah, I suppose. I suppose you go there for us if you want. If you want to go down there. Joaquin's got with his left foot. Is he left foot?
No, he's right. He's very right foot. But he's
very, very right foot.
But he's adapted his game well as to... I mean, if you hear any of the good Spanish pundits talk about... Just where I get these opinions, because I don't watch them all the time.
Because I don't have any of my own.
No, I do. I've seen him play enough, but I couldn't be like, oh, he's definitely adapted his game this way.
I remember...
He was an absolute winger, and he really declined. And he's taken to more of a central position now where he does cut in... inside, and that's what a lot of their attacks, Malaga, seem to be quite central rather than
Real Betis. I think it was a lot of money, back in the day. And then he was at Valencia for a while, but he never really lived up to his potential. He was always touted as this wonderful player around 10 years ago, maybe a little longer, maybe 12 years ago, around the 2001, 2002.
He's kind of excelled at the moment,
he had lots of potential. He was playing quite well. The Malaga team were playing quite well as well. I mean, they're not going to be in the Champions League, we know that, because they're out and in, but they're going to be, they won't be there next season because they, financial irregularities mean that they're not, they're banned for a season. Assuming they do finish fourth.
Yeah, that's it. It's, he's been fantastic this year, and wasn't too bad last year either. But I thought that goal was sensational, because especially, as you said, he's
the little flick from, was it Cisco?
Isco.
Not Cisco, he used to play for Newcastle.
Or the guy who sang the Tong song.
No, it was neither of those.
Why do you even know that?
It was Isco. I know! I'm ashamed of myself.
Yeah, I'm ashamed of you too. It was Santana who got the big winner as well.
As in Felipe Santana, not the guitarist.
Yeah, not Santana. He came down, got the old guitar out, started shouting out tunes. Made the ball bounce over the line. It was probably offside, but who got the Malaga second one? Elizu,
yeah.
Did he have to touch it? Was it going in anyway?
I don't think so.
No, he did have to touch it. Yeah.
He was offside.
Yeah, there were two the Lions, sorry, got as we said, the two offside goals there kind of.
Yeah.
Malaga have launched a complaint to UEFA about it. It's a waste of time. But I mean,
what do they want? Like an extra team added to the tournament? Just, you can't do that.
Just
FAI.
Want to launch a complaint to about the referees? And I think just I don't know what they're suggesting. But
Barcelona are very unhappy with the referee in the first leg of the Paris Saint-Germain game.
Let's move on there, then, will we?
Yeah. We do need to talk about Jurgen Klopp coming.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about his interview in which he was maniacally laughing.
I mean, it was a brilliant turnaround to get those two goals. I mean, they scored the first one and then literally they got the ball back, had an attack, won a throw in, and then scored from the cross.
Maxwell's made all the difference by coming on for those 5 minutes.
5 minutes, like 5 minutes of brilliance from Maxwell. No, but just those goals within 2 minutes of each other, and you could just imagine like being there in the Champions League to get to the semi final. For a club like that, who've been out in the wilderness for so long, you know, they won it back in 1997, wasn't it?
Yeah, wasn't it?
Where Paul Lambert was there.
He was there.
He was there. Way back when. And
look at him now.
Look at that.
And Karl-Heinz Riedel.
Karl-Heinz Riedel, who turned up on Sky Sports, which is weird. It's like, who is that? Who's that guy? And our friend kept saying, is it Morientes? Like, no, it's not Morientes. Who is that? And then it did turn out to be a former Liverpool striker. One that was there when Titi Kamara was there.
He had a good spell at Liverpool.
Yeah, he wasn't a very good player all day, though.
But you can understand, anyway, Klopp being just pure mental.
Oh, it was so funny, though. I mean, his laughing, it was great. His laughing, looking down the camera, saying that he needed a doctor, kept saying the word crazy. It was like,
off his glasses.
If I'd have heard that in real life or been near that, I'd have been threatened. I'd have been like, oh God, I better stay away from this lad, you know? And the way he kept moving closer to the camera as well, he kept being like, I'm crazy.
He looks homeless. He looks different without the hat as well.
Yeah.
He's a bit like Tony Pulis. Pulis. He's the Tony Pulis of...
If Tony Pulis puts on a hat, he looks like a proper football manager. He's like, oh, what tactics is he thinking of? Takes off the hat, goes to the press, looks like an uncle. Just looks like your average uncle.
Bald.
Yeah.
He said, why are you bald? My dad's got hair. This doesn't make sense. Yeah, he went a bit mental at the end, but you can understand he go mental. I mean,
totally.
Dortmund players were giving it like they were delighted. I mean,
they were terrible.
Still out on the pitch about 10
minutes afterwards. I mean, well, they played terribly. They were so
up there at the what do they call it? The wall there in the stadium.
Yeah,
where there's just a massive. It's like the cop used to be just a big massive row of fans. The stadium walls.
They all climbed up on top of it as well.
Yeah, the goalkeeper. Vitefeller, he was in there jumping on top of the crowd.
He made a few very good saves.
Well, I think did.
And so did Willie.
So Big Willie.
Big Willie.
Big Willie.
Which, of course, we laughed at when we saw that name in the jersey.
Willie Caballero. Yeah, he made two pretty wonderful saves. One of them, I think it was Royce, when it bounced off his leg and went out wide. Yeah.
He got a toe poke and a shin to like two excellent chances.
Yeah.
And Goodson might have been the other one.
Yeah, it was just two wonderful saves. And I mean, you kind of kept him in the game. He felt so bad for him. Even the winner, sometimes, he nearly got down to stop that before it hit sometimes. Before it went in, he nearly got down really quickly to throw that away, but just couldn't. And I think the pressure just got the man like at him.
They made the point about 10 times and they signed him for
$800,000 from a second division team. He's been at Malaga for two seasons already though, hasn't he?
There you go.
I mean, it's not like he's just come out of nowhere. No, like everybody comes from the lower divisions
at some stage. Most players
will come from the lower divisions at some stage in their career. Like, you know, Joe Hart came from Shrewsbury, you know what, 10 years ago. It's like, they got him the cheap and now it doesn't equate to that. Anyway, look, Dortmund went through and they're going to be in the same finals. We don't know what the same final parent is yet, though.
No, not yet.
But we usually know by now, don't we? They usually make that draw.
Usually the draw is made for that, but...
why hasn't it?
I don't know why.
Yeah. Find out.
Mix it up.
I'll give UEFA a ring and see.
And maybe it's just so they can have another glamour ceremony where all people have to get up there and get awards.
It's so painful having to watch those ones that are four teams in it. We watched the one for the FA Cup.
Yeah.
It was like... They obviously had about 20 minutes or half an hour set aside for the FA Cup draw live on ITV or whatever.
Was that
it was.
One where they could have it? See him now? He was on one of them. It was kind of awkwardly. Like,
yeah, it was actually. It
what was
actually,
your FA Cup memory? Yeah.
Your favourite FA Cup memory, yeah.
I don't watch that.
I don't know. Did I play in the FA Cup?
As I said, it was a tour division replay. Third division, third round replay. Third division replay with Barnet. Nothing to do with the FA Cup, just talking about other games. Yeah, they won't be painful, but I don't actually think that there won't be a ceremony, will there? There won't be.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was.
No. They love any opportunity to go for a free dinner somewhere, don't they? A couple of free drinks, free dinner.
Yeah, true. But maybe they mix it up, maybe they have it in Madrid or something.
I'm sure they would do a draw for the final if they could.
On the Eiffel Tower.
But
they need a step ladder to get up there.
Big tower.
Not a quid.
He's getting too much mentions on this side, hasn't he?
Anyway, that same day, Gallagher's...
Paris Saint-Germain, that would have been a great link. Come on your toes.
Okay, right, well, I was going to keep it Tuesday, Wednesday, okay? We'll go Paris Saint-Germain. Barcelona, Paris Saint-Germain, 1-1. Paris Saint-Germain go through. Or Barcelona go through. Paris Saint-Germain out. Barcelona go through.
Yeah. Not all a fantastic game.
No. Lots of chances, though. Well, not chances. Lots of shots. Yeah. Particularly from Fabregas.
Yeah. 22. At one stage, there was 20. I don't know how much it ended up at the end, but it was... About the 64th minute, they'd got their second shot on target, Barcelona.
Well, their goal was their second shot on target.
Was it?
Yeah.
They scored with their second shot.
Yeah, so the second shot on target was the goal, and that was...
Out of 22 shots,
two on target.
Fabregas took most of them.
Most of them were...
And
just...
David Villa hit his fair few over the bar as well.
They love shanking them over the bar, don't they? It's the Barcelona way. I thought, look... They didn't, it was half time, it was nil all. They didn't need a goal. They were going through anyway. They should have sat behind the ball, got 10 men behind the ball, put David Villa up front, hit the long ball, try to get them on the break, get Song on,
Got Tony Pulis as manager.
got Song and Mascherano there. Mascherano's
there for 6 weeks.
Yeah. Ah, sure, get him on anyway.
Get him on, he could break a few people up.
You have no problem throwing Messi in when he's injured.
He came on.
And changed the game?
No.
Game changer.
He was near the ball when David Villa laid it off to Pedro.
It was a great finish. It was a lovely layoff as well.
Lovely layoff by David Villa.
Lovely little offload. Laid it off to Pedro.
Oh, it's a lovely little offload.
Pedro smashed it. Smashed it home. I know Paris Saint-Germain quite good. In the first half especially, they really took the game to Barcelona. There was one or two chances for Lavezzi, I think, running through. And... I think he lost his foot on one stage and kind of just fell a bit. I mean, they had their chances. They didn't wilt, as some teams do when they got to the new camp. They put it up there. They got a 1-1 draw in theory. Like, if this is the first leg, people say it's an amazing result, It's unlucky that they just weren't as good as they could have been at home.
Yeah,
that's true.
I mean, they could go far next year.
You know, who else wasn't as good as they could have been? Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
But is he ever?
Sometimes he's pretty good.
Yes. In the big games.
Otherwise, well, that's true, yeah.
Sometimes you get those games where he's just... he scored in the first leg, but he wasn't very good. His goal was offside.
Yeah, he was terrible in the first leg. And he was pretty poor tonight, so...
And sometimes just he wants it to be all about him. He had a free kick that went close enough, I suppose. Xavi had a lovely free kick in the first half. It was about 5 minutes. So I thought it got in the way the Sky Sports commentators were going on.
Making audible noises and not actually commentating. What's happened? Has it got in? Blah, 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 blah.
It wasn't Gary Neville, He's bad.
If Beckham, as people on Twitter pointed out, if it had been Beckham, it would have been Gary Neville, though.
David! How weird. David Beckham did come on, actually. Mm-hmm. Didn't really do much. He was kind of closed down. Got booked.
Did one or two long.
Gave out to the referee. Got booked. Yeah, he was being closed down a lot though by Barcelona. They obviously knew that he was going to try a long ball from the back.
Which certainly would have worked if he just plonked it onto Ibrahimovic's head. Because Adriano is not going to do anything against that.
I know, that was Adriano got booked early on as well.
Adriano,
you can't get away with playing these kind of players. All the time. I just don't understand it sometimes.
They're in the semi-finals.
Can't get away with it. Only in the semis, Don't rest your laurels.
They played when they won the... Was the first year that they beat United, or was it the second that they played Yaya Toure in centre defence?
Yeah, but you get away with a man like Yaya Toure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's a difference. Don't play a defender who's bad. Play someone who's good, but he's not a defender.
Well, they're going to play either Madrid or... Dortmund or Bayern and Juventus. Comfortable win for Bayern, 2-0 on the night.
Yeah.
In Turin.
2-0 the night before.
4-0 overall.
Yeah, before.
underwhelming for Juventus.
I did say when we got here that what were we thinking even giving Juventus a chance last week, because Bayern's away record is just fantastic.
Yeah, but Juventus do have a good home record as well, though.
Yeah, I know, but look at Bayern at the moment. They're just slaughtering teams at front centre, really putting them to the sword.
They won the league. That's the weekend we'll talk about later, yeah. But sure, they've steamrolled their way to the league, and they just never seem to lose. Like, they lost the Arsenal game, but I mean, they lost the Arsenal game, and that's the only... That's the important thing is that Arsenal are better than Bayern, and that's what we learned from that one there. They could, still in terms of... Yeah, Juventus were just doing a letdown. You know, people talk about the Juventus team as if they're you know, one of the best teams around, and you know, in terms of the players there, but they don't seem to make the, like, performances. I mean, Serie A is not as strong as it could be, and they're kind of coasting their way to the title there. But when they come up against, you know, they weren't particularly great against Chelsea in the group stage, and you look at Chelsea have gone out now already.
Yeah.
Chelsea went out in the group stage. I mean, they didn't even get past that. You've got
good times.
They were the best. You know, people don't. Well, people haven't been talking about this Bayern team as a great team, even though they over the last 4 years, 3 years, they've been really impressive in the Champions League. People don't seem to give them as much credit as they should. I don't know. I just think Juventus, when it comes to the big occasions, they didn't seem up to it. I know Buffon got a lot of stick from the first leg, and so I know Pirlo really didn't have a good game, but I don't think that was his fault. He was closed down that first game brilliantly by the Bayern midfield.
Also, it's probably time for other people to step up and stop depending on two of the old faithful. I know you do want that. You want a reliable excuse me, player taking control of the Champions League game like that, but you know, chance for a couple of young players to make a name for themselves, you know. They do have good players apart from those two, you know. Paul Pogba was playing this game, which they were heavily criticised for not starting the last game, which they got a bit of flack for Juventus, but he didn't seem to make too much of a difference anyway,
you know? Yeah, he has been good in league games for Juventus, but you question the calibre of some of the Serie A teams, and you know, compared to the likes of Bayern Munich, and you wonder and you say, well, you know, how can they progress if the teams around them are
I still don't think it's a poor league. I think if you watch that league, you will still get some cracking games and
you get some good
fair
games
amount of goals.
But I just think
when it comes to Champions League,
that's
quality,
a big step. Yeah,
yeah.
You say it's the same with, to an extent, it's the same with La Liga, that you get a lot of these teams that are, you know, they're not as strong as the obviously
this year.
It's not going to happen that
actually
as strong.
I actually think more recently the league teams have been kind of showing how strong they are. I mean, they dominated, say, the Europa League last year and the Champions League this year.
I mean, there were like 50 seconds away from there being three Spanish teams in the Champions League semi-final. So,
well, I'm surprised. Madrid beat Galatasaray. Well, Galatasaray.
We're just announcing this now.
Galatasaray actually beat Real Madrid 3-2 on the night. But Madrid got through.
Very unfortunate, because I mean, I would have liked maybe, because last week I thought both of those games were relatively poor, the Dortmund and the Real Madrid games, and I would have preferred if they had a 1-1 each week, because last week I got stuck watching both and they were great, and this week I only got stuck watching one and I was like, oh, I wish I could watch both. I want to watch all of these.
I wasn't really flicking that much. The Dortmund game was interesting enough, so I kind of kept on, but when I did flick on to it, flicked off about, you know, 15 minutes or whatever, and I saw Madrid score. I was like, oh, well, that's not over. And I went back later in the second half and it was like 3-1. I was like, oh, what's going on here? And Bue scored a wonderful goal.
I got a text from my dad just before talking about the commentary saying that Bue is not the man you want on the ball. My dad was obviously laughing at him. I sent him a text back as soon as I saw he scored. It was a great goal as well.
It was a belter. He got it right in the corner.
Well, Ronaldo scored first, obviously, with a
Ronaldo scored,
Bue showed him up.
Yeah, he showed him, you know, what it's all about. On the big occasion, he was the man they needed, Bue. I mean,
they rocketed up there, didn't they?
He smashed it. Drogba scored a wonderful goal as well,
didn't he? Yeah, he did, yeah.
Kind of back-heeled.
Yeah, excellent back-heel.
With power, no, real power. Like, I mean, he didn't just roll it in. He turned as the cross came in and hit it in. And that timing as well, to get that, when you're not really looking at the ball.
Oh, he's always had fantastic technique.
We know he has had that.
Outstanding player.
It was a waste. Irritating, like, his time in China was a waste, really.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have went to Juventus or something like that and made a real difference to the team like that. Because the one thing you can say Juventus are lacking is a striker.
Yeah.
And that kind of player, you would have made them a much better team.
Well, down Nicky Bentner like that. What did Arbeloa get sent off for? He got yellow carded, and within like 3 seconds after that, did he applaud?
He made a gesture, kind of put his hand to his head as if to say the referee was crazy, and the referee saw it and he didn't take kindly to it and send him off.
Idiotic, because they only showed that I saw some highlights, but that wasn't heavily featured, whereas I was like, what happened there? I actually would like to see that again. That's nonsense from Arbeloa, though. And it really put them under pressure as well, when you think of it.
Schneider scored as well, obviously, before Arbeloa was sent off. But then Madrid did get one was the last minute, last few minutes.
Ronaldo.
Two for Ronaldo, right?
Could have had a hat-trick. Should have had a hat-trick.
Yeah, horrible
nice,
miss.
Nice, terrible miss. Yeah. So did Wesley Schneider, actually.
He played very well overall, Ronaldo. But it did force poor El Ray Wilkins in the commentary box for Sky, or not in the commentary box, in the studio for Sky, to say, it's a pity Messi's on the planet.
Yeah.
Right, that exact quote I took. He did say, while Ronaldo's on the planet.
Oh, you're a real journalist taking quotes out of context.
No, that is still a quote. I mean, I added to it. He said, either way, it's still a stupid quote. But those words in a row should never be said. It's a pity Messi's on the planet. It's a pity you're on the planet, Ray.
Yeah. Oh. It would be nice if Messi was on Mars or something.
You could send him
or on Uranus.
Yeah.
Low bro.
There's also, I mean, Casillas didn't play again.
It's
true.
It's looking like, I don't know what way. Actually, Mourinho and Drogba hugged it out for a good 2 or 3 minutes at the end of that
game.
They
are pals.
I was expecting all sorts of internet pictures to be up. I'll meet you at Chelsea.
Such quotes.
Yeah, because Casillas didn't play again, and
you wonder if he's going to get back into the team. I mean, like, Champions League
depends what's going to happen with Mourinho, doesn't it?
I know, I understand but that, but
before that,
there's other stuff to be said, like, you know, Champions League semi final, possible Champions League final. Do you leave arguably the second best or third best goalkeeper in the world out of your team and not play?
Yeah,
you have this guy who has been playing well in Diego Lopez. And hasn't really let him down. But you've got this other keeper who you know is reliable. You know is better than him. But you have a grudge with. And you refuse to play him.
Yeah.
Based on that. Does Mourinho have to say, look, I have to sacrifice his own. I don't know what you'd say. Does he have to bite the bullet and play Casillas now? Or does he stick with Lopez?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think Lopez has given him much reason to not drop to play him.
True. But overall,
it's the confidence though that a player like Casillas will still need.
Oh yeah, I know. Well. It's a tough one.
It's a psychological thing more than anything as well. Like, I mean, yeah, Lopez is going to play well, but Casillas has been here before. He's played in what, 3 or 4 Champions League.
Oh yeah, no, I still have Casillas, but I think it's made more difficult by the fact that it will obviously affect Lopez if he just goes, I probably prefer to play you, but you're not as good.
Yeah,
it seems a bit unfair on Lopez because he hasn't really.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're a backup goalkeeper like that, and Iker Casillas comes in and takes a position off you, you're not going to go, "Oh, like how has this happened?"
Yeah,
you're going to go, "Yeah, you may have done."
Like when he signed for the club, he knew he was going to. He knew he was covering for Casillas at first, but he was going to be backup to Casillas for the most part.
Exactly. It's funny though. I can't even remember his name now. Old Real Madrid manager came out and said that Casillas was a lazy trainer, or maybe it was an old assistant manager or something, but said that Casillas has always been a lazy trainer, and most report, like, people seem to backlash that, like, a lot of the media that would have watched him train him most of the time and stuff like that have kind of said, well, this is obviously somehow in cahoots with Mourinho, trying to obviously offload him, like, you know, add a bit of criticism to, oh, why is he dropping him, but he's a lazy trainer and they don't get on, and you know,
so the strange one though is, like, you know, Mourinho or Casillas has won 2 Champions Leagues and been in a couple of semi-finals and never let the team down, you could argue. I know we said Lopez hasn't, but Casillas has done it consistently for about 12 years or something like that, even more, like he's broken the team up 7 or something at this stage. Right, well, we'll leave it there. Champions League.
For now. We'll come back to you someday, Champions League.
When you're playing your next round. Which
Sunday, when we're old and grey.
Premier League. QPR Wigan. Big one at the bottom. The big one at the bottom. No Champions League talk here.
No.
Just a wonderful goal from Mike Remy.
Yeah, stunner. I'll let Rue take it from there. He's been going on about this goal forever.
Talk is true. Play by play.
No. Okay. Well, first of all, there was just a really, really terribly executed free kick.
Figueroa.
By Figueroa. The most frustrating thing was he took a step forward to hit it and then took, he ran onto the ball, kicked it, took another step just forward a tiny bit, so that who was it that ran with the ball
before?
Yeah, so that he could run, just have a clean run for about 50 yards.
Some break,
but
though, wasn't it? I mean,
the strike was unbelievable.
The pace and
the outside of the, or the inside of the foot from outside the box at an angle. The
pace
the
on it and this
unbelievably good finish.
Every time I saw it, I just went, ah.
Goal of the weekend for you?
Goal of the weekend, absolutely.
Absolutely.
This is what I was arguing a little though, because I mean, you know, I had
Shamaloni's free kick.
Interactions on our Twitter.
Yeah.
So like, you know, we spoke to an Irish blogger about this, that, you know, Lowton's was a fantastic goal for Aston Villa as well. I'm sure we'll get to that later on.
It was a real thunderstrike.
Yeah, and it's a defender. And the you know, I said technically, like technique wise, Remy's was probably a better goal, but I mean, you do have to take into consideration that that's a young defender who doesn't exactly hit many like that. So the chest it the way he did and just hit it so sweetly was just fantastic.
I mean, you can argue though. It's like people say Remy's one was better technique. I don't know. Like, I mean, it's nice to see him hit it with the inside of the foot from there, but I mean, I think to do what Lowton did, you have to hit the ball in a very particular way with a very particular part of your foot to make it go up and come back down. You have to control it with power. Remy's was more of just, he hit it across the goal. You know.
But Lowton's was a bit, like, I'm sure he'd admit, I think he actually said in the interview that he kind of just hit it and hoped for the best. I suppose.
But you had Cissé last season, it was a wonderful goal against Chelsea. I mean, there's no way in hell he ever thought that was going to go.
No, but I mean,
but it was a wonderful strike. Yeah, absolutely. He hit it with that very particular part of his foot that he had to do, the outside of his foot, that made it curl up and overcheck.
I'll tell you what, though, Mbaye's break was fantastic, but then 2 minutes later, he pushed whoever it was, I think it might have been Townsend, outside, or not Townsend, what am I saying?
It was Maloney.
Pushed Maloney just outside the box, and it's like, that defines you as a player.
Much like Samba last week.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah. But and then when we're talking about stupid fouls.
Yeah. Speaking of terrible.
Bobby has given up on football. Zamora
went in and kicked Jordi Gomez in the head.
Yeah.
Which was, it's one of the, definitely one of the worst fouls I've ever seen, I have to say. Like, so lazy. He didn't want to be on the pitch. That's what I take from that. I'm going to be heavily critical of him now and say he's an absolute arsehole for the way he's been this season. I mean, I understand
you were stronger words earlier, you were.
Yeah, I was, but I won't use it on the podcast. I'm not you.
I'm not talking about real Fernandes, okay.
No, but I think to do what he's done, I mean, he's been out, he's signed decent wages, you know, they took him from Fulham, he was like, oh, I want to move. Goes to QPR, hasn't played much, injured all season, comes back and does that, is banned now for 3 games.
Like, he seemed pretty upset that he was sent off, or angered.
He seemed like he didn't agree with it. But, I mean, there's no arguing that. You kicked someone in the head. Mm. And it was far too late. The ball was far too far away from to be trying to get the ball anymore. Left the foot in, lazy. And, like, I just think that's such a disgraceful attitude to have for a club. That, like, I mean, Harry Redknapp talked about how important he feels Bobby Zamora could be to their season.
And now he's gone for 3 games.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll be relegated.
Yeah, they will be relegated by the time he comes back. I just think that's...
No, they could be relegated by the time he comes
back. I think they're relegated now, really. I think it's disgraceful.
You actually have your league table with an R written beside them. You've highlighted them in red.
I do think it's disgraceful Bobby Zamora, though. Like, I didn't always like him that much. I thought when he was at Fulham, I was like, oh, I see some potential. I see what he's doing. But... You know,
I see
years,
what you're up to.
Years,
scoring goals.
Years before that, though, wasn't my favorite. I know he'd had a few feuds with players at West Ham and the likes of clubs like that. And just seeing that again was like, that's so horrible.
He's one of these players, if he gets a run of games, he's going to get a couple of goals. That's what he did at Fulham. Carter Cole, you know, he's gone through phases where he scored goals. You get these kind of players, and they get linked with moves, and they get made out to be a lot better than they are. It's like, Bobby Zamora's a very average player. If you play in the Championship and play consistently, you get a lot of goals. Plays in the Premiership consistently, he'll get you 10, 11, 12 goals a season. He's not going to score lots. He might score in every tour game he plays, you know what I mean? Or he might get a hat-trick in one game.
Back to when there was like suggestions that he should be in the England team.
I mean, yeah.
How long do we say this about Ricky Lambert?
Well, actually, there's been talk about it already.
How long till we're giving out about Ricky Lambert? You know.
Well, I already disagree.
Yeah, I think we all did.
Well, you have.
I think even Robbie Savage disagreed.
Yeah, we think somehow managed to contradict himself.
A type of Gollum from Lord of the Rings argument. Yeah. He should be. No, he shouldn't.
Don't bring Lord of the Rings into this. Yeah, Bobby's more, and the commentators on Sky Sports were like, oh, I bet Nani winces every time he sees one of those goals.
Yeah, actually,
because it's
weird.
It took a couple of seconds for the referee to send them off.
It was delighted.
I'm very lackadaisical about it, because from the first instance I saw it, I was like, holy, like, that should be a red card. Yeah. What has happened there? Like, has to be, and like, why is everyone acting so, like, why is everyone playing it down so much? And as you're saying, Sky Sports commentary was like, oh, Nani probably doesn't like the old high foot from when he got kicked really hard.
But it was completely different though in that situation. I mean, Bobby Zamora, the ball's out of play, first of all. Bobby Zamora, there's only one player ahead of him. He knows where that ball is going.
Yeah.
So to come in and to kick Gomez in the head, that is dangerous play. I mean, when people are saying Nani's was dangerous play, Nani's wasn't, because Nani was watching the ball all the time. He didn't know there was a player coming in behind him.
Imagine Jordi Gomez's head had been, he had flicked the other way, his head had been slightly turned. Stud in the eye. I mean, it's just moronic and lazy and just.
And then to react the way he did when he got sent off was just petulant. But Wigan weren't very good, even though they had top man advantage for
all long 70 shots. Minutes.
Didn't really get much, and they got the top of only free, got the free kick, and
did you say Figueroa argued that he should have that one? Yeah. I'm like, oh, I might take this. You are not taking this one. You saw what happened last time you took the free kick, you moron.
Why don't we all run around the ball and then we roll it out to you? Maloney just got up. And a nice free kick, but what were they at in the wall?
Well, specifically, what was that Altaraf doing in the wall?
Yeah, I mean, I did tweet that.
He got up and then kind of ducked.
Yeah,
he jumped, but ducked at the same time. If he had just stayed head height, it would have just hit him.
Yeah, it would have hit him. But, I don't think they can just blame them. I mean, there's going to be so many people that are angry saying that he's relegated them. It's like, okay, calm down. The rest of your fixtures also relegated you. But, I think it's more just reactionary for an attacking type player to be like that, though. I mean, how often does he?
Why is he in the wall then?
Yeah, he shouldn't be in the wall.
Fernando Torres was in the wall for.
Is that why his nose is like that?
No, he was in the wall with his face mask thing.
That's
the other week against.
Wouldn't affect him.
He's not going to jump up to block it though. You know he's not. You know what I mean? It's just silly.
Yeah.
It was a nice free kick though. So, and the super slow mo from behind the goal, where you can see Julio Cesar just jumping.
Yeah,
and you can see the face. He's like, he's every time you watch it, he's like, oh, you could get. Oh.
Roberto Martinez is very frustrated by the game all in all because
they
would
love to win it.
Such a good chance to pick up 3 points, and they just didn't perform.
It was a great chance for QPR as well, though.
But I mean, they shouldn't have in the position that they were with down to 10 men. And
but we can still have a game in hand on the teams around them, so they could shoot back. They could go to 15th if they win their game in hand. The results go their way, which would be great.
Still think it's going to be something.
Well, we're going to talk about Sunderland now. It was Paolo Di Canio's debut, managerial debut at Sunderland, I suppose. If you want to put it that way.
What an impact he made.
Against Chelsea. What a horrible game. All the goals
were
horrible.
It was awful.
Deflected and bouncing off people.
And it was early on in the match of the day.
It was the first game on.
That's what the claim was. Oh, goal.
Good lord.
One of Chelsea's ones, Mingele, came out and saved and just bounced
off
somebody.
Yeah,
just rolled
who in. I hadn't noticed in the last 8 years.
Oh, he had a good game.
Got a haircut.
Had a good game against Man City last season when he came off the bench.
Azpilicueta's own goal was one of the worst.
Oh, it was horrible.
I don't know what the hell happened there. It was just, that was a hilarious game now that I think of it. I remember I was watching, I think that was, I think you're right, I think it was the first game of Match of the Day. I nearly feel like turning Match of the Day off now. This has put me off football.
There's a lot of deflection. Chelsea got lucky in a way because they weren't very good. I mean, Sunderland weren't very good either, but this is a very good 3 points for Chelsea at a time where they've been playing pretty poor.
I haven't said two of the players that actually stood out. Torres come on and did actually make quite an impact on those finishing. It's still terrible.
Yeah, you would say that because he's a Liverpool fan.
And David Luiz, because he took one right in the face. It was an excellent block. He took one right in the face. And then you could probably give him the assist for that last goal, where his free kick hit Ivanovic's legs and went in.
And Ivanovic tried to claim that he flicked it in.
Oh, yeah, that was ridiculous. Absolutely. he's a terrible liar, that bloke. Some of the dives we saw out of him last year.
Yeah, even this year. He made it horrible. He was against Liverpool earlier in the season. He dived.
He's far too big to be diving and scoring.
He's an outscorer. You know, if it's a header, but not any kind of flicks.
Yeah, he's not a claim. He can flick the ball like that.
But it's a great 3 points.
Vince Kompany can, though. He did it last week.
He did. It was a nice goal last week. We talked about that. It was a great it's a great win for Chelsea because taking on 3 points at a time, they have a lot of fixtures, a lot of games, and they just don't seem to, you know.
Yeah, actually, was it like 4 games in a week that they had and they won 3 of them?
I think there was something like that, yeah. We didn't even mention last week the Chelsea Man United FA Cup game. We didn't even mention it.
No,
it
was really so kind of, we were in a busy schedule weirdly, like they were, so yeah. we can be forgiven.
It was weirdly under the radar, though. It was on a Monday, like at 3 o'clock or something.
It was
something.
Earlier than 3. Was it?
It was an early kickoff. Yeah.
I know, it was like, what was it, Easter Monday?
I think it was still, I
actually remembered going, like, being told, oh yeah, that's on early tomorrow. I was like, oh great, I'll probably watch that when I get up. And at about 4, I went, oh no! I saw Demba Ba trending on Twitter, and I was like, what?
At this time of the day, on a Monday?
What did he do? Also, worth mentioning that Rafa Benitez came out and said today, I will almost certainly manage at Liverpool again.
Yeah.
Everyone kind of went, no, you're all right, cheers. Yeah, but, do you just mean, like, be a manager and live in Liverpool? Like, manage a factory you know,
he would be a good factor.
A chip fan.
No, he'd probably eat too many chips.
But like, it was just really awkward. I think,
or maybe he's hinting that he's going to be the next Everton manager.
Or possibly Tranmere.
Chester's just out there.
But Rodgers has kind of come out and said it's not worrying him. But
yeah, that was the first bit I saw. The first article that I saw was just Rodgers dismisses Rafa talk.
Rodgers dismisses raffle talk
of a raffle. It falls under the same McLaren category, doesn't it? Turned up at Sky Sports being like, I'll be back in the job soon. No, West Ham, maybe. I don't know. Couldn't tell you. Couldn't say.
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of thing. Like, Benitez is like, my family lives in Liverpool, so I probably will definitely get the job there. Yeah. No, I know a few people. No, Gerard. They'll probably pull some strings, get me in there, you know. It's like, we've just kind of got a young manager, you know.
He's probably going to be giving her a year.
Yeah, a couple more years, hopefully.
Well,
I don't think we'll instantly go, well,
Julia, bring Julia back. But Rafa wants the job back, get him in.
Julia.
Sunderland, as you said, they also, but they're playing Newcastle this weekend.
Huge
match. Because both teams are down there, not, you know, relegation doesn't, but Newcastle did themselves a world of good with it.
Sky got their fixtures right, didn't they? Right at the end here, because, like, I mean, if you had QPR and Wigan earlier in the season, I'd have probably gone, yeah.
Well, they don't pick them all at the start of the season, so, like, they do pick them as the games go on.
Okay.
So they say, you know, 2 or 3 weeks in advance, we want this match. They book it out.
But still, I mean, having Sunderland down there 2 or 3 weeks in advance, I suppose it's the derby that you're more picking for.
They're always going to show Sunderland.
This is going to be such a huge game. I mean, imagine Newcastle will taunt them endlessly, considering the kind of celebration Sunderland had when they got relegated.
And things were looking good for Sunderland at the time.
Papa Cisse scored in the 92nd minute.
Well, yeah, we thought about Partridge's celebration. The reason was because of Cisse's last minute goal again. Another last minute goal.
Was it four this season?
I think it must be. They got one in the Europa League there a couple of months against Angie. And then he had one in the league just around that time as well. Yeah. I can't remember who it was against.
He's a very irritating player, Cisse.
He had about eight good chances.
He's very, very irritating. Really bugged the hell out of me watching him, I have to say.
It's an awfully small head as well.
Bit of a Bobo Baldé.
Or it's weirdly round. There's something wrong there.
Baldé had a kind of small P-shaped head compared to the rest of his body.
That's an interesting take.
On
the match.
The match.
I think we've extensively covered that match.
I do think Alan Pardew's celebration was a little bit forced, though.
Yeah, he's that kind of, any other manager.
Me and the lads were celebrating down the match last week, and we had a few cans of drink. Oh, did you? Yeah. Okay.
You know, any other manager would be quite genuine, but apparently he went down his way to get into the crowd, and then he pulled out his shorts, and he's like, ah, fuck it, I'm just going to be here.
What happened there? That's one.
I don't
sticking
know.
Sticking their hand up at the top or something. Getting the second piece for Alan Pardew. Well, we found the name of this podcast. I didn't know. I did hear about that, but I didn't exactly know what happened.
He started claiming that someone nicked his keys as
well. Yeah, which is a lie. He's at swingers party.
This is so his wife does it. That's probably what he did. He was like, do you know what? I lost my keys at that swingers party last night. How can I pretend to my wife that someone nicked them? I know.
Disturbing sexual prowess of Adam Pardew. That's what that game is now entitled.
Adam Pardew, some man. Hey. He got it right in the crowd. See, he got right into the crowd as well. Got deep in there.
Yeah.
Got deep in the crowd. Like Adam Pardew did. Stoke 1, Aston Villa 3. Absolutely wonderful strike from 11, which you've already mentioned. Comparing it to Remy's. They both could have been there for a goal of the season. They probably won't be. Neither will be in there. We'll probably forget about them in a week's time.
Yeah,
that's fair. I don't know. I'd say Leighton's will probably get in there. Actually, I'd say both of them will probably get in there.
Along with all of Gareth Bale's goals.
Bonhoir's goal, because that was, for Stoke to concede a goal like that was just horrendous.
They've been terrible recently.
But I mean, that's such an anti-them goal. I'm pretty sure, I don't even remember who it was who tried to clear it. They kicked it off with Bonhoir off the back of his legs, and he turned around and the ball was still there and he slotted it in. This is like, is this what this game is going to be like?
And it was.
Yeah.
But then Stoke scored, they're putting the pressure on, you know, really having a go at Aston Villa, and then Leighton just popped up with a one. I mean, they were going to celebrate that goal either way, you know, because it was late on in the game. It was a goal that was probably going to win it for them. But to be in such dramatic fashion, to be absolutely incredible goal, like, you know, okay, all the QBR fans are going to celebrate Remy's goal, no matter what it was like, but it was such an incredible goal as well. But Houghton's just out of nowhere, just takes a touch, smashes it, just when he goes up and comes down, and he's just delighted to score a goal with it. Tony Pulis tried to take it away from at the end, though, as well, in the interview. In the post-match interview, he's like, I haven't seen the lads, you know, he doesn't seem to score a lot. I've seen that, he doesn't score a lot. Or I haven't seen the stats, but I don't think he scores a lot. I was like,
well,
what difference does that make?
Piss off,
Pulis. He's the same person. It doesn't matter. It's the same person who claimed that Peter Crouch did his goal against Man City every day.
Crouch claimed that, actually. And but I'm sure he just backed up. It was a rotten way to act about it. And it's the same way when he was talking about the game after, like later on, just said, I don't know the rules for handball.
What?
You're a football manager, surely you should.
He made no sense in both those things, because, I mean, you should know the rules, and there you do know the rules. Handballs. And the statement he made about Leighton's goal actually deeply made no sense.
He doesn't have a lot of shots, so he takes that away from
him. So what do you say? Does it count?
It's like 1-1, but you lost 3-1, 1-1.
Stuck to the stereotype of being very aggressive, whether it was when the fans were cheering for him to come on, which, like, it was punch in the air, like, come on! And then Kightley, when he scored, he was really aggressive at the celebration. He was just like, if there hadn't been people around him, they'd have been bruised to bits the way he was going on.
Even the fans giving Tony Pulis a bit of stick, or giving the team a bit of stick as well, because they've been so terrible. They've just forgotten how to play football. It's like, not that they really could play much, but they just seem to, they don't look as resolute as they used to. They're conceding goals. Like, I mean, to concede 3 against Villa, a team who don't score a lot as it is. I mean, bar Ben Teke.
Yeah,
we got a goal at the end. Nice goal. Little finish.
Four of them. With Begovic. I'd say he was just like, bollocks this. I'm not even.
It's the last minute. We're already one down anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Did you hear the brief dig of Michael Owen during?
He'd be doing as much good. Oh, he might as well retire. He's going to do as much good retiring. Yeah. He's sitting there. So
he's like, that's kind of mean. Now that it's outside that period where we have to respect his retirement. Hey, dickhead. Nice bench.
Bench warmer. You love to imagine him, like, hearing that somehow as he knows the camera's on him, and just kind of putting his hand under the seat and taking out loads of trophies to do, like,
I carry them around with me.
That's unbeamy.
Now we have to stop doing like a load of pressure.
That's unbeamy.
Stoke 1, Aston Villa 3.
They're unbeamy. Cooked it with a meal. Spurs 2, Everton 2. Morales got a nice goal. Another nice goal. I mean, he jinked in little players in and out.
His celebration was less epic this time, though. It was kind of, it seemed really fitting after the last one, and it was kind of forced and crap this time.
Maybe he knew it himself. I was like, oh, it doesn't matter anymore. They're going to score, aren't they? Albayor scored after 0 minutes, according to the Premier League website. It's because he scored so early on.
Awful defending for that goal, I have to say.
I'm glad that they... he'll go on, yeah, it's a bad defend.
Yeah, it was really, really poor. I mean, I think there was four of them in the middle with him, and none of them...
Vertonghen's ball, wasn't it? All the way across. Yeah. Another assist for Vertonghen. We got one last week from Mel.
They took one each, actually, up Port of it, because Jackie Elka's header, the equaliser, was terribly defended by Spurs. So they just kind of started off and like, you give us one, we'll give you one.
Yeah, and we'll go just get the goal scored up a bit.
And then Morales was just class.
Yeah, it
was
as
he said.
He's a good lad.
It was a real touch of class. And Albayor scored, you know, that's good for him. He doesn't score a lot.
No, he doesn't.
And it was
pretty awful these days.
He's been terrible this season. I mean, people said it last year that he was playing for a move to Tottenham.
Yeah.
And he got it. You know, they talked about a good season last season. He was good on loan. But now he's just been terrible. This season he's on big money. He just doesn't suit their play. He's the only striker really by Defoe that they have. He's the only big striker they have.
I'd much prefer to see Defoe in there most of the time, though, to be honest.
But they need another option. That's
definitely.
By,
I think
be. And they don't. They seem reluctant to play Dempsey up front, or even Dembele up front. Dempsey definitely is a striker, you know what I mean? You know, give him a game up front if you're that stuck. I mean, if you're stuck playing
Albayor, I mean Albayor has ways where he pays off, and he did score, so
yeah, but it's only his third league goal.
Yeah, I know, but you wouldn't go next week put Dempsey on, you know.
Dempsey is a striker,
yeah, or was better to play off players though rather than up there by himself. But Tim Howard's save, what did you think of that one? That weird one,
which was
right, deflected, and he got his hand to it, and it just went up and
hit the bar.
And came straight down.
Just about there,
yeah.
It was quite lucky. He got quite lucky, actually. Yeah.
Fair to Portsmouth.
Yeah, fair to Portsmouth.
We're getting there.
Fair to Tottenham that they did play Thursday against Bale.
Yeah.
And they drew 2-2.
And I don't think we got to talk about missing Gareth Bale, did we?
No, we didn't.
Quite a huge loss.
He's ever, 3 weeks, isn't it? Around 3 weeks? I think it's 3 weeks.
You're right, actually, it looked like it could have been more.
Yeah, it looked like it was a
devastatingly hard.
And I mean, Sky Sports News has gone crazy then with that one afterwards, with Gareth Bale injured, and there's all kinds of interviews going on. I was like, well, calm down. He's only
three of the signs of the apocalypse, isn't it?
I saw
Gareth Bale and Messi are both injured.
The picture that was floating around online was pretty atrocious.
Well, he kind of hyperextended his ankle, didn't he?
Yeah. It's the kind where you're like, that's a broken ankle. That's out for the rest of the season.
But he looks like a bendy person. I think he's all right. He's very lanky, you know. He just bend over.
Yeah.
Big round.
Big round.
Bit of a cheese string looking kind of guy.
Yeah.
High in calcium.
You could eat him up. He looks like he'd like a pint of milk.
That sounds like something on Sky Sports News would say. Oh, I could eat him up, Jeff. A slice of Gareth Bale pie. I don't know who that was. Just a mixture of all
Adam McAnally, maybe?
Yeah, probably. I promise you, Jeff. I promise you I'll eat him up.
Thanks for that.
Promise me things, Ali.
Yeah, it's 2-2 draw against Bally. You can swear to be crap in the Europa League again.
These are all the Europa League fixtures on tomorrow, so we won't get a chance to really report on today. But
next week.
Looking like a bad situation for Newcastle, not a great situation for Tottenham.
Yeah.
Chelsea,
all right,
yeah.
So interesting. We'll talk about next week. There's nothing we can do now, mister. There really isn't.
No point crying over spilled Gareth Bale milk.
Yeah, he's lactating. Gareth Bale been out for 3 weeks. He's probably gonna miss 3 matches. Then you said Bobby Zamora's gonna be out for 3 games for QPR, and by then they could be relegated. Could Tottenham possibly be out of the top four by then, or?
It's a big question.
I mean, because Arsenal have a game in hand. They beat West Brom 2-1. Arsenal, I think he got 2, which is strange.
Walker will have a huge role to play for Tottenham in the next week or two for a bit of width, because I mean they're missing Lennon, they're missing Bale.
Yeah,
I wouldn't exactly say Akoto's a fantastic
player.
Sigurdsson's playing
there. But Vertonghen at least has
he's a good player. But he's not much of a wing back.
Walker will have to provide some.
Walker was actually
in the next week.
He was quite good against.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, he really did actually show Baines up, which just doesn't happen too often these days. But I think that'll be an interesting thing to see, because as we said, both of, you know, they've lost with these two out, and and the pace, biggest impact player they have. Like,
but not just but even Lennon has been doing a great job on the other wing, and not getting a lot of credit because of what Bale's doing. Like, there's another side to football, and it's, you know, making players follow you out and like pulling the play inside. Yeah. I think Lennon's actually done a good job of that, and not getting a lot of credit for. But they've lost that pace as well. Because they played Sigurdsson out in the wing, and he just doesn't have the pace. He's better through the middle.
Mm.
You got Dembele, you can stick out there if you want, I suppose.
Probably have to start using Holtby a bit more as well.
Yeah, and Holtby coming through the middle as well. Put him out wide then, I suppose. You have to get your pace in there. But, yeah, could be.
We'll see. I mean, it's a because he's only gone for a game or two, hopefully...
Well, you're talking three games. I mean, one already, and then you probably only missed another two, and then you're going to miss the ball game anyway, so...
Mm.
I mean, Arsenal won... And they've got the game in hand. If they win that, they'd go ahead of Tottenham. Tottenham's got a lot, possibly have more games with the ball game, and they're going to play the weekend.
Imagine Arsenal turned it into a fourth place. I'd be so, because of just overall this season, I just feel that they're terrible most of the time when I watch them. And I know they're picking up points and they do win games, but I mean, if they did get it, I mean, that's some achievement for Wenger, because I think this is a very average side. I mean, even on, we'll probably go there next with Rosicky scoring two. And they had some stat for like how many goals or when the last time he scored is.
Yeah, he's.
But looking at him, I'm just like, well, that's you done now, isn't it? That's probably the last time I'll see you do anything major, really.
In fact, it was, I think it was last season, there was a period when he played really well for like five or six games.
Yeah,
he got a new
contract.
Yeah, and then he got a new contract, he was out injured. And he just didn't do anything after that. And then he came back now and he got two goals. And I mean, you know, it's that kind of game. You say, "Oh, yeah, he's got to go." Like, just get rid of him. And we replace him with somebody else.
Mm. Well, weirdly enough, I mean, there's talk of, say, if Rosicky goes, Arshavin is actually this week rumored to be retiring.
Yeah,
after, which is bizarre.
But it's players like that need to go elsewhere. I mean, if Rosicky just wasn't his injury problem, played more, he'd be great, a grand enough player to keep. But you need better players. We're really, you know, obviously like Arsenal League with Royce or Götze and. You're thinking, they're not going to get these kind of players. They're at Dortmund. They're playing for a good team. They're going to cost a bomb to buy these players. They're 20-30 million. You're not going to get those kind of players. And it is an average team, as you said. Like, there's, you got your stand-up players. You've got Cazorla, who's quite good. You've got Jack Wilshere, but he could play. We know he's going to be quite good. Arteta is good. In the midfield, is quite strong. You've got Arteta there. Giroud's been quite good in the last couple of weeks. He's coming good. Now, whether he'll be, you know, able to maintain that form the next season is a different story. But like, you're looking and say, where are the rest of the goals going to come from? Gervinho,
you know. You said bomb a minute ago, which reminded me of Ramsey missed a sinner during the game, which he really should have put away.
Yeah, there was.
But you know, every time Ramsey scores a goal,
somebody dies
in history. So I assume North Korea, if he had scored that, North Korea would have lodged the nuclear bomb. I was like, thank God you missed that.
That's the first thing that came to your head.
Yeah, well, just, you know, every time he scores, someone dies. So it was like, what big is happening in history now? Oh my God, his foot is the trigger. One of those kind of moments.
Yeah, it's just, as I said, it's an average Arsenal team. You wonder if there'd be a bit of investment in the summer then, make it stronger. But players like Rosicky and Arsenal have to go for us, and you can look and say, well, why are they there? Like, what's the point, you know?
It's what,
like,
do you think of the defence? Because, I mean, early on in that match, shaky. And
yeah, very.
Later on in that match, Mertesacker did one of the most irresponsible things. I mean, where... From it was 2-0, wasn't it, at the time when Mertesacker was led to the pound.
Yeah.
So irresponsible, I don't know what he's thinking. Just absurd.
For such an experienced player to be doing that, you're just like... And there was Koscielny, I think, then he gave away a penalty in the first half as well.
Yeah.
Vermaelen's
had a very poor season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're looking all over, like, Gibbs again is...
Diaby's out injured as well.
Yeah.
Again.
You sent me that fantastic... I'll probably post that straight after... We record
the chart of all the injuries.
Yeah, the chart of all the obvious injuries, where it's just phenomenal.
There's some great stuff where it's like, all right, there's a big list of stuff on his right leg or whatever. And then there's like just randomly pointing at his belly button. And it's like, God, remember that time he was pregnant
infection.
And he couldn't play?
Infection from ring.
His elbows were in good
shape. Yeah, I think his right ankle was okay, but everything around that, both legs,
he's never brought
knees,
his nose.
Shins, like. Calves, everything was destroyed. But
eyesight's quite good. Eyesight's quite good.
Good 20/20 vision there.
Yeah, we just got a lot of those players in the team that are passengers in Diaby, Rosicky, Arshavin, that, you know, need to go. We need to get them out. We need to replace them with some good players, you know. In defence, I said, like, you know, Koscielny and Mertesacker could be good at times, But then at other times they can be terrible. Same with Koscielny and Vermaelen, they can look good, but then Koscielny just does something.
Probably need a spell of just a set defence, you know, an actual left fall, so you don't have.
But
to keep
Monreal up. Is quite good.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I
suppose Monreal is going
to
be the.
You've got Sandy now. Whether he wants to go or not is a different story. Or whether he does go or not, I wouldn't be too bothered if he left. I know he's a good player, but his form the last year since being injured, especially, but I know it's been unlucky to be injured, but his form wasn't great, and I think he is getting a bit of form now, but if we replaced him with an adequate right back, then he wouldn't be too bothered with
him. I mean, ultimately,
I think you need another centre back there. You know, I don't see why Wenger goes, we have enough. It's like, you have three centre backs. One of them can't even run in Mertesacker. Like, he doesn't run, like, he can't. You need a smaller, pacier, maybe, the centre back or something like that.
He'd take Sol Campbell back if he could right now, I guarantee you. They were looking to get away with the 3 points, though, Arsenal. I mean, Lukaku and McCauley, actually, it was, had very good chances late on that. But I actually think both of them should have put away, especially McCauley's. But, I think Arsenal were very, very lucky to get away with a win with that.
City beat United 2-1 as well, but it was a very unimportant game, really.
Kind of showed the point of, you know, United are still league winners, but don't win big games that much anymore, do they?
No, they. It was an important win for City, I suppose, to get some respect, like to win Old Trafford. Yeah, pride. Yeah, not bragging rights or anything like that. I mean,
well,
City,
not really. Yeah,
you know, United are going to romp away with the title. They're still 12 points clear.
Yeah.
I mean, United have to lose 5 games. The 7 games they've got left or something. It's ludicrous to even think that.
I'm gonna show you this recording when City win the league
next season.
Yep, I'm gonna hold it for 6 or 7 years.
who did we tip for the title? Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll do it at the end of the year. I still have mine saved, but you guys have to go back to the very first show and look at all.
Milner,
the very very first show.
No,
where we tip like Germany to win the World Cup.
And how close were we there?
Come on, lads.
Semis.
It's all
semi-finals,
the past.
Yeah.
Get back to that. The good old days.
Is it still downloadable?
I still have them on my laptop.
No, they've been taken off since. If you really wanted them, you can email us. We'll send them to you. We've got the whole back catalogue.
What's the email, though?
The email is the12manpodcast@hotmail.com. And we'll send you on if you really wanted their own ones.
Someone's going to just get us to do it for the hassle. They're never going to listen to them.
Well, he's the one who has them. Although I think I still have those recordings.
Email Shane Keane.
Shane Keane at the 12th Man Podcast.
At Twitter.
Yahoo.net.
Yeah, you email Shane Keane at Yahoo.net. Other Shane Keane. The what?
And then we get a new follower. Anyway. Manchester United, Man City.
Not really much to say. Nice goal by Aguero. City won. Phil Jones made funny faces.
Phil Jones always makes great faces.
He's,
as I said,
he's got good hair as well.
He does a relatively decent hair.
No, he doesn't.
It does make him look like, as for what he's like, if I depicted him, Beaker from the Muppets, which is great. But I do want someone to eventually make, as I said to you guys earlier, a load of small Phil Jones faces that ultimately culminate and make one big, crazy, mad Phil Jones face.
I'd
hang that poster.
Those kind of pictures amaze me.
Yeah. Especially one of small, tiny, mad Phil Jones faces. I mean, that'd be unbelievable.
How do they make them?
I don't know why you're directing this at me.
You like art.
I assume
you like art.
I
assume we're football blokes in Top Gear and etc.
Ranges and etc. Ranges and beer. That's all I care about.
Bitches and beer. I'm wrenching myself.
This is a really bad rap song. Anyway,
Gaza's latest rap
we've really
song.
We've really struggled to cover this game.
I think we covered it comprehensively. Let's move on.
Okay,
it's very
I was just going to say that Phil Jones cleared the ball off his own line, or not off, I keep saying that, cleared the ball off the Man City line in an attempt to score.
It's just setting up Company.
He held it back off Company.
He's just trying to humiliate Company. That was the plan.
Excellent cross by Van Persie from that, but he's still not scoring.
No.
Van Persie.
I mean, look, you can spend 20 million on these kind of players now, but if you're not getting your goals, you know what I mean? Look, if you're still at Arsenal now, geez, we win the league. Banging them in, no bother. Banging
all
them
those
in.
Other problems would just fade away.
40, 50, you play him at centre back. Tough tackling, Robin Van Persie. Does this company own goal cancel out his goal from last season.
His goal from last season?
Is
the winner.
Yeah, in the season.
Well, they still won, so...
Yeah, I think, no, it cancels really, it out. It cancels it out. So...
Okay, so that was a question us is answered by you.
It was a draw last season, which means actually United won the title.
Yeah, that seems like reasonable actually. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So they should be given two trophies at the end of the year. And as Tevez's punishment, as indicated last week, he should have to carry them out.
Let's move on to Euro news.
Or he should be dressed as one of them. They have to lift him.
Talking about trophies. Bayern Munich have won a trophy. The Bundesliga has been wrapped up.
It's not really a trophy. It's more like a plate.
Yeah. It's the earliest it's ever been won.
Yeah.
It's more like a shield.
So does that make them one of the best Bayern Munich teams ever?
Yeah. They have to be, surely. I mean, if they can win the Champions League as well.
Yeah. And they're in semi-finals of the German Cup. Yeah.
And they're still looking so strong.
I mean, they could be on for a treble. And they
after what a devastating season last year was, I mean, this would be an excellent response.
It was just the fact that Dortmund won the league and they got the Champions League final loss. But let's not forget, Louis van Gaal's team 4 years ago that got to the final of that, the league, they won the league and they got to the final of the cup. Did they win the cup or did they lose they did win it because they were both on for the treble. That's what it was. Them and Inter were on for the treble. That team was only 4 years ago. It's still changed a huge amount since then. Like, you know, Gomez doesn't even play anymore. Mandzukic is still playing, getting the goals from now.
No, not in the semis though. He's suspended. Ridiculously.
Well, Pizarro could come in. Like,
Pizarro scored.
How many? He's five in the last two games.
Well, he has scored quite a bit.
Yeah, five in the last two games.
No, I mean, just in general. Over the whole season. He's
always scored a point, though. He's always scored a point.
The goal that won the
league.
Pretty much won the league. Excellent, classy way to finish. It was a lovely backheel flick by Schweinsteiger. Celebrations all over the place with...
Most notably, Frank Ribery. Who was dancing.
Was notable in a crowd anyway.
With a megaphone, doing a dance, looking like a hillbilly.
He had the vest, because... All the other players had their jerseys, but he'd taken the jersey off
and he ruined the photo. He ruined it.
Yeah.
There's a shot of them all wearing their jerseys, like all the team who started. All of them, they all have white jerseys on, and Ribery's there in his Under Armour white top. They're like, they're all wearing their jerseys. Where's their jersey on?
Where is his jersey on?
He must have swapped it.
He must have thrown it into the crowd.
Yeah, into the crowd.
Then I wouldn't have too much of a go. But it was nice seeing them all celebrate down with their fans, like we said about Dortmund. And Dortmund had to kind of put off them winning for... I'm not sure if it was on the same day, actually. I can't remember now. By beating someone 4-2. This is some good stats. I watched the highlights earlier, but...
You forgot.
They had put it off the week before that by beating Stuttgart. This week. But it was still a case of Bayern just had to win.
Yeah.
Regardless of what happened, Bayern had to win.
Yeah.
And Dortmund were 2 goals down or something in that game. Maybe it was 2-1.
Yeah, it's 2-1, yeah.
And then
Lewandowski and Götze came on at half time and helped them. Lewandowski has 11 goals in his last 10 games.
It's pretty impressive.
I think it's a new record for the Bundesliga. Yeah, I think 9 in a row was the last.
And he'll be banging them in for Bayern Munich next season.
truly looking fantastic. Well, we just talked about Van Persie and... It's like a goal. Consistency is what they need. Yeah. Not just some lad who turn up. I know there's so many United fans shouting at you. You know nothing about football. I'm joking.
Let's take it back to England for a few minutes. The Johnson's Payne Trophy. The big one. The big one.
View.
Southend versus Crewe.
I think
Phil Brown Southend.
I think we all celebrated a lot, even though we didn't really pay too much attention to it this year.
And Crewe won 2-0.
The fact that Phil Brown didn't get his hands on a trophy like 2 or 3 days after
Phil Brown giving
the
big one, you know, he took over 2 weeks ago and he's at a cup final already. The hard graft that Phil Brown did to get there. You know, put in the hard yards, slow days in the training, you know, the cold winter months in the training pitch for this lovely spring afternoon.
He's inside drinking tea.
Probably still pretty cold.
He's inside drinking tea, singing a bit of like One Direction to himself or something like that. That's what kind of lad. He's trying to seem hip. He's like, oh, the lads probably listen to this.
No, it's more of a, he's more of a karaoke. What was he? Sweet Caroline earlier, you were saying.
Yeah, Sweet Caroline, yeah.
He sings that, you know. I suppose he wasn't singing after the match.
No, but I'd say
Slips On B was the one that he sang at when Hull.
Stayed up.
When they stayed up, yeah.
I'd say he lets on to have a bit of a taste of music, though. Like, he pretends that and he knows a bit of stuff. Like, oh yeah, that old sweet child of mine, but it comes around, I was like, oh jeez, if I hear that played ever again.
Yeah, I think he's a big NWA fan, isn't he?
That's why he spent so long in the tanning booths.
Oh jeez.
Yeah. Well, look, Crewe won 2-0, and it was a pretty good victory for them. I mean, great, because there are teams that constantly produce good young players, and it's great that they get rewarded by actually winning something. You know, Nick Powell moved to Man United last summer. We haven't seen too much of actually since Christmas, really.
Well, he scored that one alone. Came on, scored a goal.
Maybe he has. Speaking of,
I don't mean to interrupt too much.
Just a little bit.
No, of what we're talking about.
That's enough interrupting.
I was listening to a report the other day talking about Aston Villa having won the kind of...
The Next Gen Series. I forgot to mention that last week.
Heavily Irish-based group of players. I mean, what was it? They could have had... Was it last year? They could have had a full team of Irish players.
Or
was it this year?
No, it was last season when they had Robbie Keane alone and Richard Dunn. Well, Richard Dunn is there. Eddie Stevens had joined from Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, but they have, what, how many, was it six, like, integral parts of that Villa team or something like that? So that's
pretty impressive, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty optimistic for us. Yeah. I mean, they beat the likes, like...
Hopeful for us, even.
Yeah. I mean, they would have had teams like Barcelona and stuff like that would have been in that. Tottenham, and Aston Villa won it, so...
Tottenham have played recently. I think Inter were playing in it as well.
Begs the question for Lambert, should he just get rid of the crop of players he has there?
Well, the crop of players he has already is pretty young, so... Yeah. You know, put in some more youth with that youth that you have. Yeah. And
that's what they need. Mix it up a bit.
Yeah,
a bit of youth.
Dave O'Leary would go batshit mental for that job.
Oh, lads.
My babies.
He's probably the one to put that in place. He used to be the Aston Villa manager.
Yeah, I don't think he did that much work there. I think giving him too much credit, like people would give Phil Brown.
Let's go. Yeah, well, Phil Brown, look, he lost. That's the important thing. Crystal Palace. And Barnsley played this weekend. Look, nobody wouldn't talk about Crystal Palace but Barnsley matches, but
was it Barnsley or Barnett?
Barnsley.
It's definitely Barnsley.
Barnsley, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Barnett are in the third division maker that was managing them.
That's why it's on the brain. You mentioned it earlier.
Barnsley, their away kit was too similar to Crystal Palace's home kit, so they have to wear the Crystal Palace away kit.
Which is mental.
Which is crazy. I mean, both wearing...
They should have brought enough for all the crowd to wear then.
Surely the fans would have had some jerseys, they could have given them well enough.
Yeah, just a lot of topless fans.
Ah, they love being topless.
Ah, that happens all the time.
Yeah, oh, Charles went down, oh, the smell of this one, I'm not wearing that.
Surely they could have wore something else, but...
I'm going to relate it to my old Sunday League team. Because
it's the same.
Yeah, no, we had a load of jerseys before, and the team that... We were playing a team that wore green and white as we did, so we had to change. So we were given these group of new jerseys. It was like, oh yeah, these are pretty new. They're away jerseys, yellow. And I was like, you know, I wasn't mad about yellow anyway, yellow and blue. And oh yeah, brand new.
Fashionista here.
My manager picked them up, brought them down. Huge tear in the side of one of the arms. What looked like someone had been nibbling at it. The rats had gotten into the bag where they left and eaten the arm of the jersey.
Oh dear. Oh.
It was the number 10 jersey as well.
Youth football at its best. Youth football at its finest in Ireland.
Number 10, so every time one of our midfielders was kind of giving it, he was like, no, I don't want number 10. No, you're a number 10 kind of player. You have to wear the number 10.
Oh dear. We once had to wait for him. The senior team's jerseys, away jerseys, which were white because we were playing team that were blue.
Oh, were they playing in them?
No, but we had to delay kickoff by an hour while somebody went off and got jerseys. Yeah.
It's better than, I suppose it's better than.
But the problem with the white jerseys was they had crests on them, as well as most jerseys do, but they kept rubbing off your nipple. And it was really irritating.
None of you had extremely low nipples.
Yeah, if you had saggy nipples.
Tevez nipples, they're high though.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, that's enough anecdotes for one week. Let's go to League 2, I suppose. Portsmouth look like set to be taken over by the fans, finally.
Mm.
Which will give them a bit of security, but they will have to go.
Until next year. That's Real's joke. He made that.
You agree. They've been on a good run, actually. They've won a good few games, but the likelihood is they're going to have to go into administration and they'll lose 10 points. They'll come out of administration, which will lose 10 points. But if they don't, if they don't come out by the end of start by a certain period now, they won't be allowed in the Football League next season, which is the problem they're at now. It's like, but they're winning these games, but they're going to go down either way. So it's really demoralising. But I suppose to keep the club afloat.
Yeah, it's probably more demoralising to me.
Actually, sorry, they're in League One at the moment, so they're not in League Two. So they will be in League Two if they get relegated.
Probably more demoralising not to exist, though.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, that the fans taking over is a great thing. And it's a new kind of initiative that's going to be happening. Like, you know, they'd probably be the highest up there, owned by fans, which is a strange one, you know.
Yeah.
Because it happens in other countries, like in Spain, like the fans own the clubs.
QPR, it all awaits you. But fair play to Pompey fans. I mean, they've really tried hard to sell this club. They've, like, think of how long this has been going on. I know we tune in and out because we're not Pompey fans, but I mean, they care such a great deal about that club, you know. It's good to see effort gone in, and hopefully they can start to turn things around.
They've been out of ages, and they've finally got the money together, and they are going to take over, and they've secured a deal to take over. Yeah, to stay at Fran Park. So I mean, fair play to them.
Great job.
They are fans of the week.
In our new segment,
and this week only.
It's a yearly segment. It's our yearly fans of the week.
For when Portsmouth fans take over Portsmouth every year, we give them fans of the week.
It'll be different fans next year.
Well, can it be
Portsmouth
can it be,
fans, it'll just be
Mr. Southampton fans.
Can it be negative? Can it be
taking
negative?
Over Portsmouth?
Can it be anti? Can it be negative, like bad fans of the week? Because Wolves would win that easily.
maybe they would.
No offence, Wolves fans, but man. Sorry, let's get Mick McCarthy sacked.
Let's wrap it up, lads, in a minute. Atletico Mineiro beat Arsenal.
Ooh, to the Copa Libertadores.
All the way to South America, lads. All the way.
That's
Atletico Mineiro 5, Arsenal 2. Ooh. Arsenal, terrible, you know. Get your root up front. No.
That's not the worst part about the loss, though.
No. Wonderful goal. Sorry. Wonderful goal from Ronaldinho in there. Wonderful. Look at him. We might even put the video up.
There's a beauty. There was a couple of crackers.
Ronaldinho's
was the fourth. Alexandro's, fifth. Yeah. And Bendetto's free kick for Arsenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was wonderful. They moved around the air a bit. Maybe the keeper could have got to it play with it, but it was a wonderful shot. But the big thing was that after the match, the Arsenal fans the Arsenal players weren't very happy with the results, the refereeing,
the refereeing,
the fans,
one or two incidents with
their lives.
There's one or two. I mean, it seems a bit like that from they wrecked the dressing room as well and fought riot police. So you would go, okay, you didn't just come here to play football, you've had another agenda. But there was a decision or two. I mean, they awarded Atletico Mineiro a penalty, which was outside the box.
Mm.
But I mean, that's not, you lost 5-2. It's not just down to that one decision, you know.
But they really went out at the end of the game. They were kicking balls they kicked the ball at the...
Well, they kicked
at the riot police.
Yeah, and not just kicked a ball.
Kicked the riot shield.
That just sounds like a very effective wall made or something. But, like, they kicked the riot shield and destroyed the away dressing room to Atletico Mineiro's stadium. So, in the video, you can find that video easily. Just type in...
Or maybe we put it up ourselves. Cut out the middleman.
Yeah, maybe. On the Facebook page. Yeah. 12 Man Podcast on Facebook. But in the video, it does look like the Arsenal players are hugely at fault. But I heard Tim Vickery, sportsman, talking. Yeah. And he was saying that the police may have seemed to have provoked it from what they were told. And there's been, pretty large criticism of the police... mostly, which is worrying, I suppose, for the Brazil World Cup. Mm. If they're, you know,
that's true.
You know, they should have really just kind of kept it. They should have maybe just escorted the officials away and left it at that. You know,
Steven Gerrard seems quite keen on the Brazil World Cup. Though, for the bizarre reason he came out and said
that only one better place.
Yeah, Brazil is the second best place where they can host this World Cup after England.
Because it's handy for me because I don't have to get on any flights.
He said after England for us English players. And then surely the Brazilians could say that about every other World Cup.
That's Jared for you.
Silly Jared. He also said it in a silly accent. So.
He'll do that.
Well, right, lads, we'll have to leave it there. The 12manpodcast@hotmail.com if you want to get in touch or send us an email. Or @12manpodcast on the Twitter. Probably best to go on the Twitter there. You can go on the Facebook page. Just Google the 12th Man Podcast. You'll get the Facebook page. Get on there. Some videos up. You'll be able to get the podcast. Give us a like and you'll get all that. Send straight to your...
Stuart McCall fall on a car.
It's funny every time.
It gets funnier each time.
You will have to put up with a little bit of soccer end though. Although I think I wrote in the link where to skip, and I did apologise in advance for that. So
it's no bother. It's no bother. Thank you, Rory Tobin.
Thank you,
and thank you, Declan Barron.
I love you all.
And thank you for watching. Stoke won.
You just can't get past at the moment. Right, Stoke. I think the Stoke winning is funny to us as well.
Well, no, Stoke won, Aston Villa 3.
Yeah, no, but he said Stoke won. He said Stoke won. So
Stoke won.
Aston Villa 3.
Stoke won, Aston Villa 3.
Yeah.
Waiting for me to stop drinking? That's
rude. No, it wasn't. I was waiting for you to be ready to talk. Like, I didn't mean to. Stoke won, Aston Villa.
Oh, for Jesus. Stop laughing in the middle of it. Let me get the sentence out.
I can't do it.
Stoke
won. Goal! Goal, 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 goal. Sorry, it was far too tempting.
So... What was the score? What was the score of the Stoke Britannia match?
Spurs 2, Everton 2.
Stoke.
Go!
But, the... I see how it feels and I don't like it. My good man, Des, goes bad. Des. Men Des behaving badly. You'd watch that show. Men Des behaving badly. Oh, do you want water?
Well, shouldn't the police be calling your man probably dead?
Yeah.
I love you, big brick wall.
I love my brick.
You're my new boyfriend. I'm very lonely.
He's alright.
You a bit cramped, yeah?
The cramper is.
Who let the dogs out?
You just cover up all the bases.
Yeah.
You could have a syndicate.
Let's count cards.
No, look at him. No.
He falls over and he just keeps rolling.
He says, I'm going to fall over here.
And he does. And it falls over and it takes a boo.
If I knew you were going to say that, Andy, I wouldn't have come over to hang out.
Are you on a bit of lean?
He just walks up and says,
I bet you're thinking, I'm a good looking lad. And I bet you're thinking, is he single? And I am. And I smashed it.
I walk up. You're getting moister by the moment. That's what's happening.
I'm cool.
Richard, that's what's happening.
Richard, I'm cool. I'm calm. I'm composed.
Currently behind the bar, about to have some.
That's not going in there.
And I went into Richard. And I came.
Richard, don't put it in there.
Stop dropping your.